In this podcast, we're going to capture some of the fast action, mad scientist feel, which really draws students in with a series of clear, easy to do experiments that I've developed during my teaching career. So we start off with your microwave oven, obviously, and two solutions, one of baking soda, that's bicarbonate as it's called, and the other one of copper sulfate solution, fairly strong solutions, saturated solutions if you can manage it. I should do an advertisement now that copper sulfate is one of my favourite chemicals. It's just so useful, so many things that you can do with it. I always wind up using the most of it. It's a rather expensive chemical to buy because it's got copper in it. Copper is expensive, but it's nice, heavy and dense. So I'm going to explain a demonstration in which a fountain of miraculous blue milkshake looking solution is just produced. It's a frothy and milky, and it comes out the top of your measuring cylinder in a spectacular way. And if you do it correctly to get the theatre right, it really draws the intrigue of students in, because they're used to nothing much happening in science or science experiments. You just add this to this, and look, there's a little bubble. This is quite a spectacular experiment. This is Peter Hill Explains, where I discuss things scientific and talk about teaching techniques and learning. So let's get into the basics of it. Copper sulfate is an acidic salt. It's sort of what happens when you mix sulfuric acid and copper. It's still got a bit of acid in it. You add it to baking soda. That baking soda is designed to decompose and add the little bubbles of carbon dioxide in your mixture. You get another fantastic reaction here. There's a previous podcast where I've talked about calcium chloride and baking soda, or sodium bicarbonate, as I prefer to call it. So you get, measuring cylinder, and get quantities, 40, 50 mils, or even 100 mils of the bicarbonate of soda solution and the copper solution, and you simply place this on tray, because it can overflow. You put it in your beaker. Now I'm going to start talking about the theatrics of it. Now, the thing is, ostensibly, you draw students in that this is a solution, a thing where you're comparing the accuracy of measurement of a beaker versus a measuring cylinder. A measuring cylinder is the go-to to get reasonably accurate to the nearest cubic centimetre or millilitre, whereas you'd be lucky to get accuracy of 5 or 10 millilitre in a beaker. So you distract them first by asking them to guess and pour it in, so you get someone up to pour it in and measure it, and then we're going to see how good you are by actually putting it in a cylinder. Now we're going to do it, so you've poured it, the clear solution first. Now we're going to test how this copper solution is. It's a darker one, so it's harder to measure. The student measures it in, and then you pour it in the top, and the reaction, so you pour the copper, deep blue copper sulfate solution, into the top of the bicarbonate solution. And this will begin to fizz to produce carbon dioxide and a precipitate of copper hydroxide, sort of a light blue precipitate. There's two different reactions which occur in there. It's a rather complicated beast to unplug. Now, of course, this adding a little bit of detergent somewhere in the solution, or having a detergent at the base of your measuring cylinder is a good thing to help the frothy aspect of it, but don't advertise that too much. And what will happen is that mixing this will, you know, the expectation, the prediction will be that the blue will naturally sit on top because you've built up this expectation. But what in fact happens is a fairly quick reaction that comes out and produces this reaction. And there's an observation. Another critical thing that happens here is that this is an endothermic reaction. You're producing carbon dioxide, which is increasing the entropy. More particles is a good sign. And there's also, just looking at the entropy of the reaction, the enthalpy, these are the things which you can't really go into, but if you get up to the stage of washing off the measuring cylinder, so this is a long tube, so this is, means that you can see a large amount of bubbles being produced, and you go around and feel it. It actually feels cold, and so a chemical reaction is a change in temperature, increase or decrease, a production of light, a production of gas, a production of new material, and the new material is this copper sulfate. Now, as you don't make a comment of it, you go across, you leave it to the side, so you've got this milky copper solution, and everyone is used to the copper sulfate and the others being actually in solution. This is a precipitate, and it'll take a while for it to precipitates, but it's important to leave it out there, and you move on to do a second demonstration. So again, it's best to prepare two beakers of copper sulfate and copper and the sodium bicarbonate. And the second one is, you'll say, I wonder what happens if it's hotter, and of course there will be an increased expectation, indeed, if you put it in the microwave for about 10 seconds, 20 seconds maximum. If it boils, you're going too much. But and then putting it in, then there's the experience, the expectation, the prediction, will it occur hotter? And it definitely does do a bigger reaction if it's heated up. It's quite a satisfying reaction. Does it feel cold again? Again, the introduction of thermometers to measure what's going on is something to do notionally. The actual production of it and the ability of people to see it is not necessarily a very productive thing. So by this time, you can go back to the original measuring cylinder, and at this time you'll see a clear layer and a precipitation at the base. So if you don't mention it, a student will observe it and draw your attention to it, and you say you don't see it initially, and it's a bit like where is he hiding? Behind you in a pantomime to get going through. So they can see that, and if they have had experience producing chalk and have gone through the process of actually filtering, you can actually filter this out, and this is actually quite an involved experiment. Now we come up to the idea that what is the copper sulfate? We have a beautiful copper sulfate crystal. That's a great thing to observe. They can see that the copper sulfate is a powder, but actually in fact it can form a big crystal. Now, if you get a big crystal, the important thing to do, I think, is to heat it up. Now, one of the things that I have discovered, unfortunately, that if you get a crystal from a crystal growing competition, evil people can actually put very realistic blue wax. And of course, if you heat up the blue wax, that's a bit of a disaster. But if you heat up the copper sulfate crystal, it will go cloudy and white. Oh, not white, well, sort of very light blue, because the actual copper sulfate you have is a hydrated salt. So that's an important thing when you're actually measuring. What we have to do now as a conclusion is to actually prove to the students, or satisfy the interest, is there actually copper in copper sulfate? And so for that, what you do is get some fine steel wool, not thick steel wool, but fine steel wool, get some copper sulfate and put it into a beaker of copper sulfate solution. And after a while, you'll see that the iron starts to dissolve into the copper sulfate. This is the iron of steel wool. And pull it out with tweezers, and you can see it. Also, all of this, you have to wear safety glasses. I should have mentioned that. And you should do this in any experiment. You should put in a risk assessment first and go through it. But again, if you've had the preparation, again, a student can say, why didn't you heat up the copper sulfate? The copper sulfate solution worked far more when you actually heated it up and put it in with the sodium bicarbonate. Why don't you heat it up? And you may know the answer, but the important thing is to say, perhaps I'm unsure. Perhaps it do it. And it's actually quite an amazing reaction if you can get the a strong copper sulfate solution up to near boiling. So definitely steaming. Again, your microwave oven is ideal for this. It's always a complicated thing to have a Bunsen burner out and the flames associated with it. Then if you put in a fairly large, goodly amount of copper, of iron, steel wool. This is for polishing. So in general, if you go to the supermarket and you can't get it, you'd probably have to get it out of a hardware store, get the finer grade. The finer grade stuff, again, it's sort of almost insane to order it in through the chemical ordering system. Our chemical ordering system is via actual chemical suppliers, which are registered by the government, in order to stop... who knows how it works? It's to stop corruption. So rather than ordering it from the cheapest company, and you have shares in the cheapest company, you can order it from an official government supplier, which the government has shares in, I suppose, but it stops the overall corruption there. Again, you can order things from just consumables from supermarkets. This is at least in Australia you can. The main thing is you put the copper sulfate solution, this beautiful thick solution. It's a beautiful, thick, rich, royal colour. It's a really attractive colour. You put it in, microwave heat it up, then put the iron in. Now, in general, you want to do a comparison. So you say, well, what we're doing is to do a control. So we'll have two beakers and put them in at the same time, one in the cold beaker and one in the hot beaker, and you'll see the comparative difference. Again, this is helps students who are getting a bit overwhelmed by this stage and cognitive load, the more curious ones, and you have the bet of what's going on, and so you have the full experiment as nature, as a witness providing information to us. So in summary, this is a story about making a rich surprise copper hydroxide milkshake, which cools itself. It's a self-cooling milkshake. It's to create a memorable experience where you don't overload, do the double crime of overloading people's brains with detail and information and predictions, so that you predict something and their prediction process is not how much, it's not whether it will or not. They know it's going to happen, they just want to see how much. And very much they are now in a mode of comparing it with their computer animation or their latest computer game to see whether that's as experience or, say, commercial firework. Of course, it's not the same level. So if you set a low expectation and set it, say, for making a cup of soup or something like that, when you, say, add more water to soup, you don't expect anything unusual. Unusual to happen. So this is, in general, and I may put up a link to the chemical reactions. It's actually quite a sophisticated, if I can remember, a chemical reaction, depending on, I think, on concentrations, on what exactly you get out the end. It's a very interesting thing, and can be developed into investigation, and definitely them. Oh, the important thing to tell them is that I think copper sulfate or copper hydroxide's used as a snail poison. The other result, which is sodium sulfate, I think is also used as a laxative. These are common everyday things, and of course the interest that you can do by bringing in certain things. Should I dare say that when the iron goes into the copper sulfate solution, it turns into copper. It appears to turn into copper. You put in the steel wool and it comes out just like copper. It then quickly oxidizes. It goes blackish, which is an interesting thing to do. Again, before you show the copper, you should have copper electrodes, copper plate, so that people identify what copper is and identify on the periodic table. So that's something I forgot to say. You should have it around the place. You think it's going to be copper like this, and point it out to them. Only a small amount of production. There are these claims that my kids are so bright they don't need this. But you may as well do it as part of the gentle unassuming discovery here. And the main thing to do is, like a magician or a performer, you don't blurt out your punchline halfway through your joke and then pad to the death at the end of it. There's a lot to this lesson, but this is the sort of the cutting edge experimental aspect of it, and it's given to you to hopefully move out of something locally developed. Hopefully, it will occur in other countries and other places, be written up in YouTubes, and come to the law, the similar surprise to elephant's toothpaste, which I'll do later on. Thanks for listening. In the meantime, keep on thinking science and keep on teaching science.